We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Oh, just let it wash over you. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you.
I like the last soundbite of that is, I think we'll have baseball by July 4th. That's one of the more optimistic ones out there.
We'll take it at this point.
Yeah, all the wailing and gnashing of teeth we heard before that. And then, oh, yeah, I think we'll have it by July 4th.
Yeah, we're going to have it. Yeah,
so here we are. Because post-March in this quarantine, time has moved awfully fast. So July 4th feels like it is only a week away.
That is correct. I mean, that honestly, the time-space continuum has shifted dramatically during this entire thing. March was a year and a half. April was like 6 months, and May was like a day. Doesn't that sound about right?
Yeah, it's moving along because things are opening up. You know, we feel we're getting back to normal, and every now and then we feel we got to hit the pause button, and every now and then it's like, well, wait, what if this happens? But, man, it just seems like it's barreling ahead.
Yeah, and we're slowly – I think sports is a big part of that too. Sports. Like certainly everything that has started to transpire around that, because March was closure, right, stoppage. Right. It was all these signals that no was happening, and
Now we're getting way more yeses. Yeah, we're getting some more yeses.
If March was when you turn the spigot off, it feels like the last couple months we're just opening up a little bit more at a time.
And it is, with all these sports, it's testing. What is testing? It's bubble. Don't use the word bubble. Use the word campus. And then it's really about money.
Thank you.
What's the money going to be?
You know what? It is fascinating on so many levels in life, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's always the thing. You can talk about all the other things and this and that. But at the end of the day, 99% of the time, it's about one thing, and it's money. And that's why the Major League Baseball thing just seems to be so out of place, for lack of a better term, because it's getting so public. Again, we talked about this yesterday when the NHL proposal was sort of, here it is. It's done. We have no idea what actually took place behind the scenes and how ugly it might have been. But it was taken care of. And now we have, again, more back and forth between the MLB owners and the players about what they're willing to take financially to play in the pandemic.
Yeah, so Max Scherzer came out last night with a tweet that said, quote, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no need to engage with Major League Baseball on any further compensation reductions. We've previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received.
Right. And here is Jeff Passan on SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt basically saying, Scherzer saying this matters.
Max Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Cy Young Award winner multiple times. This is a guy who has gravitas and is not just a great player, but is an incredibly intelligent person too. And to have him coming out as strident as he was, as forceful as he was with this message, I think says a lot about the position of the players right now. They're mad. They're mad at the offer that Major League Baseball made, and they're not going to sit here and say, oh, we'll be conciliatory, we'll come and meet you in the middle. No, they want to go back to the player or to Major League Baseball and say, we're not going to accept this.
Yeah, I don't think we get enough use of the word strident, by the way.
See, it's funny.
You put that in there?
You put strident. The only thing I heard was gravitas.
Gravitas,
that's such
strident,
a good word.
Bottom line is, on multiple calls Wednesday, players essentially pledged to ignore the league's proposal. So they're going to ignore
it. I didn't see it. But la, 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 I'm not listening.
But they're going to give a proposal of their own, so we'll see what they're perfectly satisfied with the prorated. And again, this is one of those where it's playing out publicly, and fans will look at it, and, you know, people are hoping to go back to work so they can start to get paid again, you know, to make money to pay their mortgage, to buy their food. And what do they see? They see players saying, well, you're going to get paid. It's just a matter of how much you're going to get paid, and it's still going to be way the hell more than we're going to get paid. So, unfortunately, to the public, it's still a bad look.
I don't know. I saw a number of other tweets that kind of what I went along with yesterday. I never thought I would see the other side of a conversation about pay for play in the world of college athletics, but we've gotten there, and I saw more people than I expected, again, pointing out the owners are doing the obvious thing that they do in these situations, and people are a little more hip to it.
I think they are. Now, when you look at your timeline, it's really an echo chamber for your own thoughts. So, I mean, I'm not so sure about that. But I do think – and we saw this happen with the Sixers, right, when they were going to pull back right. salaries and all yep. that kind of stuff. And we had Michael Rubin mm-hmm. on with us of the Fanatics and also a part owner of the Sixers, and he was like – yeah, you know, we should probably take a little more responsibility there because, as you said yesterday, Junior, we're the ones that have the B behind our name, not an M like the players. And I do think people, at the end of the day, are more understanding. They're more strident about that situation, for lack of a better term. But, you know, for most people, I don't know how far they're going to go down that level up and just say, hey, it's a game. You're offered tons. Play.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, again, I think people realizing what you just said, though. Like, people tend to look up and see the B a lot more than they used to in a lot of these conversations.
Look for the B, everybody. Well,
and it's interesting because with Major League Baseball, this is only happening because the Major League Baseball Players Association is such a unit of strength. Like, we didn't talk about these as much with the NHL and the NBA because they've got that, you know, 50-50. In the case of the NHL, I think it's a 50-50 revenue split.
Right.
For the NBA, we know the percentages are a little different than that. But that stuff is ironed out, so these things tend to become a lot easier once you've got that. This is happening because the MLBPA got over on the owners in a way that now puts them on the other side. Like, what do we love doing to players in these situations when things come up?
You honor a contract.
Like, well, we love saying you negotiated this, so right. you get to deal with it.
Yeah.
Guess what? That arrow is pointing the other way now. It ain't so fun, is it?
Yeah. I was amazed at some of the tweets of the people banging on the baseball players union, saying, "Oh, they're not strong enough. Tony Clark is in over his head." I was tweeting back going, do you understand this is the strongest union in sports? They have gotten the best deal for their players more than any other major sport out there. Yeah. You know, that's why we're having this negotiation, because a lot of the times players put themselves by negotiation in a situation where they can't negotiate as much in a situation like this. The players are this union is the strongest union in pro sports.
And I think what you just said is really important, because yes, they're trying to figure out a way to play this year in very unusual circumstances, but our Jesse Rogers, our Major League, one of our ESPN baseball reporters, absolutely nailed it. Understand what is going on here. It's really not just about this year.
I really feel like if this was the first or second year of a 10-year CBA, then we would be hearing and feeling different things about this. But the fact that they're about to go into a negotiation for the next deal right after this negotiation has everybody on high alert. I truly believe that. So ultimately, your argument might win out, because if they do operate at a big loss this year, the players are going to feel in coming years. Now, here's the other thing is players might feel like they're going to feel it anyway, so they better get theirs while they're under contract. Remember, this is union collectively bargained stuff here we're talking about. This isn't just, you know, just a guy off the street. You know, he has no rights, but these guys do have some rights to negotiate an agreement here. But ultimately, we know the owners could just take their ball and go home.
And that, of course, was on the Will Cain show. And that that's the prism that I think a lot of this is being looked at, because what did the players first say when they talked about a revenue split? Salary cap. Don't want it. We've never had it. We're not going to go there. And I think they all think if we give this now, that's the thing they're going to say, hey, going forward in the next CBA. So the prism that the players, and I think the owners too, are looking at this is, let's figure this out, but understand that this may be a setup for something else.
But I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
I don't think it is at all, but I think it is.
Why would the players, I mean, you could easily put in there, it's for this year only. You know, revenue split will never come up again. I mean, in negotiations, you know, they get everything in writing. I get that, but I don't know how much the future negotiations. What do you need to feel like you won now, so you can feel like you won later, or you're not going to lose later? That part of it to me gets to be a little too much testosterone.
I just think it's also that one word that always comes up in these situations about precedent
and trust. And the other thing is there's a little bit, there's a lot of mistrust, but you're right about precedent. But the reason to think about it this way is like, they don't get along. You know what I mean? They feel like they've had a lot of it's been a really bad relationship, and they've salvaged it a couple of times is the best way to sort of come up with it.
Yeah, that's been their track record in a lot of this. And so when you got all that in the background, and again, the power dynamic is a lot different than it is in these other sports, and you don't have some of the same things in place. Like, we can say it's been about money, but it's largely been about all the other things around it when it comes to the NBA and the NHL. It's really this situation that we land on where it's this ugly.
Could you imagine if they didn't play and it was because of money and not the COVID-19?
Then you know what?
There's no shot that – I don't think there's any shot that could both sides be dumb enough to let that happen.
Yeah. Look, it – I mean, hockey shut down for a full season. I mean, they did do it. Baseball once canceled a World Series. I don't think they will, because if it is money that stops them from playing, then they have no clue as to about what perception is.
It is funny, and I wish I could remember who said this yesterday on ESPN Radio so I could give credit, but someone brought up Major League Baseball, whenever they've had these work stoppages and things in the past, has always managed to pull out and come back, whether it was the steroid era that saved it or all these different spots. Like, they always seem to find a way through their own bullheaded mistakes.
Exactly. We could bandy about this topic for a long time, but we got a lot more to talk about. Coming up next, for the NBA, it's much more complicated than the players just wanting to come back and play. Why? We'll tell you next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course your Schmott speakers. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So, before last season began, Baker Mayfield was the NFL star of all the commercials. And we always said, take him. Absolutely. Have a chance. As my good friend Mike Golic Jr. once said, when you have a chance to stunt, you stunt.
And by the way, they were hilarious.
They were good. We talked about the
very good
beep one, yeah. Which we've all been, the hellscape we've all been, yeah, trying to find the beep in our house. And obviously there were high expectations for the Browns, and Baker rode that to make a lot of money, as he should. And then it all sort of fell apart. Not saying it was Baker Mayfield's fault completely, but the Browns failed to live up to expectations. There's no question about it. Well, we've said on this show many times, this is a very important year for Baker Mayfield, even though it's year three. Why? Because he's already had two different head coaches and a general manager change. In other words, all the people that were all in on Baker Mayfield being the number one draft pick just 2 years ago don't work there anymore. So for him to continue his status and go forward as the Browns starting quarterback, he's going to have to prove it to a whole different bunch of people.
Now, Andrew Berry was there
in a different capacity. He was there, yes. So, but he wasn't, as President Bush once said, the decider.
Yeah, it is a different landscape for them there now. But they've also, and you know, we heard some from Baker Mayfield, you know, he's gotten to get to some workouts. I think he hosted some guys down in Texas, some of the new ones like Austin, right, Hooper, to come get to those workouts. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. are both recovering from various ailments. So,
right, a couple of surgeries.
Yeah.
So basically, Baker's been laying low this offseason. On a Zoom call, the Browns quarterback basically said, that's been by design.
I have a different approach to this year. Everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. First media thing I've done, just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. And right now it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. That's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots.
By the way, I think this is a very smart play by him. Very smart
well,
play.
Well, and it's a shame if it's a play. You'd like.
I'm sorry, a thought process. Yeah. If the word was wrong, I don't want to say it's done with anything but the best of intentions.
Because you'd like people to be themselves. And there was always something about Baker who was always, you know, a little bit different, spoke his mind. You know, it was like that quarterback back in the day, that kind of cocky arrogance type of a, you know, swagger that he had, that, you know, it kind of has me torn, because as a, you know me, as I am kind of old school in that resolve of, you know what, just give the quotes out of the locker room. Don't set yourself up. Don't start writing checks that you got to cash, that obviously he had trouble cashing and the team had trouble cashing. So, and I've always said it takes a while to kind of learn the road, to be a professional athlete as well. And this sounds like Baker now learning, and maybe it took this situation to help him learn where less is more. Don't say as much, you know, don't be so bold with your comments. But there is part of me, so I am kind of happy at this where they say, let your play do your talking. But there is a part of me that's like, I kind of like the old Baker as well.
He's a content fountain. But
it's always one of those things too. I always say, like, I want every guy to be exactly who he is and who he needs to be to do well. And I understand things didn't go well for Baker Mayfield, but this is again where we take all success and lump everything that went into it as part of that success, or all failure and say everything that led to it was all failure. Freddie Kitchens had some difficulties as a head coach. That Browns team brought a lot of new parts together at once last year. There were all these different things that created the situation that was the 2019 Cleveland Browns. Not all of it was Baker Mayfield's personality and the checks that he wrote that team couldn't cash. And so there is part of me that says what Baker Mayfield has done and who he is, right, wrong, or indifferent, has been a part of getting him where he needs to be ready to play. And you don't want to certainly, you know, cut off any of that.
No, look, I said this off the top. It wasn't all Baker Mayfield in any way, shape, or form. But I am curious when he said, I'm doing it a little quiet. That's how I used to do it before I got on the bigger stage. I don't remember Baker ever being quiet.
Well, he was quiet, but I mean, listen, he had time in college before the year in Oklahoma.
before a couple years, where
he was, and then obviously it was boisterous in college.
I mean, you know, he wore the shirts, you know.
There was a time before all that. Maybe that's what he's alluding to.
It has to be, right?
And here's the other thing as well. Mike, I get everything you said. There's a lot more, but we know how it all works. Yeah. Where does it all funnel to? It all funnels back to Baker. You know, it could be Freddie Kitchens, but the failure falls to Baker. Unfairly, we always say they get too much credit quarterbacks at times and too many darts thrown at him at times. Yeah. And I guess for him, it's a situation where, okay, maybe it is better that I don't throw any more gas on the fire. You know, I think it's a mature thing that he's going through there on how he has to lead an entire team.
I would rather see the maturity in the other areas that we talked about that were more important, meaning making comments about teammates' contracts, situations, some of those things, going up to Hugh Jackson after he went over to Cincinnati and became a coach there. Like, those are the areas where I go, that's maturity in the ways that I would care to see, in the ways of being a professional, especially around that league that people value.
I think we saw that part of it play out last year down the stretch of the season when it did spiral, when the Browns season basically spiraled out of playoff contention. I thought we saw more of that from Baker in the way he reacted to things. You know, he had the game in Denver where he had three different shaves. You know what I mean?
Showed
up with a full beard and the stash, and then it was just the kung fu thing at halftime, and then he shaved everything off. I mean, I think we got to that part of Baker. So I think at this point, Baker needs to realize, what else do I need? Because it's one thing to be, as you kind of said, a swashbuckling quarterback that's out there. It's another thing to be a CEO. And basically, that's what the quarterback is in the NFL. You're the CEO of the franchise.
I think he can fix all that by fixing his post-game outfits, but that might be a story for another day in this one. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned some of the things that we got out of Baker, because when he was going, he was humming. Like, you guys remember those pictures of him in front of that Bentley with the tiger and the underwear and all that stuff?
Before he'd started a game.
Yeah. Before he'd ever started a game. I consider it one of the more iconic sports, non-sports photos of the last decade.
Iconic non-sports photos.
At Golden Wingo. show us some of the others. Yeah. Show us what you think on that. That's our lesson plan brought to you by California Almonds with 6 grams of natural protein. Fuel your whatever day, every day with California Almonds. I want to see it. Someone already sent in too, and it's sick and twisted. Arthur Blank watching the 28-3 comeback finished off in the Super Bowl. Just sick and twisted.
So essentially, it's someone related to sports in an iconic photo that has nothing to do with the game actually being played.
You know what? It could be around sports. I just want some of the more iconic photos from sports in the last decade. I hope that some of them will venture off the field into some of the hilarious things that we see or do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to limit anyone.
Like two that come to my mind automatically would be everybody looking at Kawhi's shot in Game 7 against the Sixers.
Right. That's up there.
That is good. Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston. That's a really good one.
In the last decade, so maybe a little more recent than that.
You're probably
one.
Not going to our early ages, huh?
I think it was the anniversary of that photo not too long ago, too, so that's why it stuck.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
But the Kawhi, everybody watching it bounce around the rim. Now, it didn't have a tiger, a car, or anybody in underwear, but still, it was pretty good.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know what, those aren't a prerequisite necessarily, but at Golic and Wingo, if your pictures do involve a tiger, a Bentley, or underwear, I certainly won't be upset about it.
We're in.
We're open to all interpretations.
Yes.
It's basically what we're saying. All right, coming up next, speaking of interpretations, could you interpretate?
Oh, man,
cut it up, Cliff. Listen, you have to. We kill our guy, so go ahead. Just do it. Could you interpret what's going on potentially at Disney World as them adding a different crazy roller coaster this summer?
We'll get
to that after this.
That was a whole lot to go nowhere.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo with you on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers everywhere. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. I just want to say before we go any further.
Say it, Trey.
Your shoes are just phenomenal today. For those not watching on ESPN News, they are sort of an amalgamation of many different colors and fabrics, and they just pop. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, Nike does a really cool deal every year with the Dornbacher Children's Hospital in Oregon, where they let kids at the hospital that are undergoing treatment for various ailments and diseases design shoes with Nike with the help of some of their designers, and they commission usually 6 of them every year, and you get the story of the kid that was involved with helping create the design of the shoe. There's a ton of hidden meetings that every kid builds into it, and so this is one of the shoes from that series. It's something really cool that happens
that
every
is
year
very neat. Yeah.
And one that I always enjoy. All the money that, you know, that people purchase, you know, the shoes with goes back towards the children's hospital and helping everyone out there. So it's a
well done and they look great.
They are neat.
I've been bringing the heat all quarantine, man. You guys have seen it. I've been wearing my shoes.
And now everybody gets to see it now that we're back live on TV.
Television.
This is how it's been. So welcome to the show.
And, wow. And he's just, by the way, he's also in short shorts again. Thick thighs save lives. That's what it was.
You listen, no one's going to thigh shame me into wearing longer pants. This is who I am. I got great legs.
Live your life.
I got great legs.
The Baker Mayfield of wearing shorts.
He's the Baker Mayfield of this show, that's for sure. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I need a mustache now.
You have a whole, like, face jungle.
Yeah, it's almost time.
Face jungle, by the way. I don't know where that came from,
but it came out pretty well.
Thank you very much. So as I said, now let's really get to the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So the NHL has their plan. They're moving forward. And as we had with Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL yesterday, revenue and the issues monetarily are not going to be a problem. They're almost there in the NBA. And it is interesting. Sometimes presentation is all that matters, right? Because the idea was they're going to go to Disney World and be in sort of a bubble environment. And some people didn't like the word bubble. Our Ramona Shelburne, one of our ESPN senior writers, awesome, does a great job for us covering the NBA on the ESPN Daily Podcast with Mina Kimes, basically said when they changed the wording of that one word, it changed players' minds dramatically.
Initially, when you brought up the idea of a bubble, the reaction amongst players was very visceral. It was like, whoa, how are we going to enforce this? I'm not wearing an ankle bracelet. Like, I don't want to have armed guards outside the hotel. Like, I'm not going to, I'm not being put in jail so that I can play, right? I think once they understood, no, the bubble's not really a bubble. It's more like a campus at a nice resort in Orlando where you can play golf, you can go to restaurants, you can walk amongst the 228 acres out in Orlando, and maybe in your free time you can go watch some other games even. Like, okay, your team's done playing, and I'll just watch my buddy Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder play.
Okay, let me just state for the record, sell me that and I'm in heaven.
You
can go play, and then you can watch your friends play. You can walk around, and you can play golf in your spare time.
Well, the first
thing, where do I sign?
The first thing I would say to that, I'm not going to watch my friends play. You ever think about when you're playing to go sit there and sit through another game and watch one of your friends play? I wouldn't do that. There's too many other things.
I would.
There's too many other things to do if you can. If you can they go to the park? I mean, the park's set to open up July 11th with some certainly restrictions. Is that going to be open to them? Because now we're talking about families that can come down there as well, which brings a whole nother set of protocols they can do. So, but it is amazing. You change the word bubble to campus and how people all of a sudden say, oh, okay, so we have a little more freedom here because of the connotation of the word bubble.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's a reminder that a lot more people than we give credit for just read the headlines and don't actually read. Like the same thing again, the left twix, right twix. It's all about how you wrap this one for everyone. So either way, you know what? It's also the job of the people making plans to make sure you communicate it in a way that people can receive and that people are ready to understand. So if that's what gets the message across, then great. Better now than this being one of the things that potentially keeps this from happening.
Look, obviously, the ideal scenario is we wouldn't have to deal with any of these parameters, but we're not in that situation. But if you present it that way, I mean, look, we'll be in a self-contained environment. I think everyone would understand that if we can do all these things in that self-contained environment, we'll be okay.
Well, I think the health procedures have to go along with it. Do you feel like you're going to be healthy there? And they're talking about all the testing that they're going to do to try and keep them safe. And I think the thought process anyway has been once we get everyone in the environment and people in the environment are testing negative, then we should be okay. Now we hear the other side say, when you're getting that many people together to think there isn't going to be at least one positive, and then if you have one positive, what else is that going to lead to? Because I'll still say, all we've ever heard is, well, if a player tests positive, we will isolate said player. Yeah. Man, let me tell you what, I would say this, in all the team sports that are all getting back together, if only one positive test came out of all of it, I think you'd consider yourself lucky.
Right.
So what happens when you have multiple positive tests? How much is that going to change the equation?
By the way, all that phrasing that Ramona did perfectly, again, you can hear it on the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes and get that podcast wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So, but that's a great question, right? Because we saw the UFC had one when they first came back test positive.
And isolated,
moved on. It's different dynamic when you've got 12 guys on a roster and you're sharing all that space. We'll have to figure that part of it out. And that's part of, I guess, still some of the ongoing battle, I want to say battle, discussions that's going on between the owners and players. And here was our NBA insider Woj talking about that on the 6 o'clock Sports Center.
Communication, that's it. You know, it's just sad that we got to hear about things happening, you know, in our workplace and stuff like that via Twitter. I mean, it's good, it's entertaining, it's fun, but just want more communication. Like, let us know. Don't just string us along. Man. If the NBA is starting, if the NBA is finished, just let us know. I challenge the NBA. We work, we bled blood, sweat, and tears for this league. And, you know, we feel like it should be a certain line of respect that, you know, we should be knowing what's going on.
And if you're thinking to yourself, man, Woj just changed.
Yeah.
That was obviously not Adrian
Wojnarowski.
That was Patrick Beverley, the Clippers guard on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt.
Which is interesting, though, because it's an interesting cross-section of a couple of things, and it's one I brought up when we were talking about our show document last night, is the difference between the NHL and the NBA. Like, you want to talk packaging. We don't know what it was like for the NHL going through that deal, right? We didn't shine a spotlight on it. No. We didn't have anybody going in there and looking for information. Like, the NHL does not have a Woj. It does not have a dedicated group of insiders to that extent.
At least not for our,
from our standpoint, that we're going in there and that we're being able to basically give us all a great window into it.
Right.
And we're extremely thankful because Woj does an unreal job of getting this information and keeping us all very up to date on a transparent process. But it's like, at the same time, it could have been like this for the NHL where you had players frustrated, where you had what Woj talked about, lobbying behind the scenes for certain things. We'll just never really know.
And by the way, if they kept it under wraps and were able to, good for them.
Yeah.
You know, good for them for doing it that
way. Think one of the things Gary Bettman said to us yesterday when he was on our show was, listen, if you're a fan of any team, there are going, or a player on any team, there are going to be things about this that you're going to like and things about this you're not going to like. So to your point, Mike, I'm sure there was probably discussions, especially of the things that, some of the players didn't like before they agreed to this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, magically, the actual voice of our NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski.
So much of it right now is we get closer to the league having to decide about what that structure is going to look like is all the lobbying and the politicking and those around the league, from owners and team presidents, general managers, players who are trying to make a case to Adam Silver about why their idea makes sense and should fit for everybody. And they're still trying to take pieces from a lot of different ideas and move around some of these pieces.
So I'm sitting there wondering if the NHL is a good model for the NBA and not bring everybody back. Because as I mentioned before, there's really only two teams that would be completely out of it. That would be Minnesota and the Golden State Warriors. Everybody else could somewhat be in it if you wanted to do some kind of play in for a bit, but it's a matter of how many teams you're going to include in that to have some kind of maybe round robin to get your seeding before you go.
Yeah, and it seems like that playoff plus model by Woj's reporting and all accounts that we're getting is seeming more and more like the overwhelmingly likely option. That
something Mark Cuban is really interested in.
Yeah, that we're not going to get all 30 teams coming back, that it could be between 20 and 24 teams maybe coming back and some version of the round robins in there. So it seems like the one that's going to end up making the most sense to give, because we heard from Dame Lillard the other day, like, guys want to feel like they've got a shot at this because this is a unique year where you might actually have a better shot than more. And I thought it made an overwhelming amount of sense. And it was a reminder. We talked about that very early on. Like, because of this gap, you create a different situation. I always said this about the college football playoff and college football. It's almost like a different season when you've got a 30-plus day break in between the last game you play in the conference championships of the regular season and the first game of what used to be the BCS and what's now the college football playoff.
Right, and that layoff usually affects sometimes offenses more than defense. You're right, but it is a totally different dynamic. You mentioned Damian Lillard. There were some quotes out there. He's like, I'm not coming back for meaningless games. I'm not going to do anything like that. Well, he went on with Jalen and Jacoby to basically clarify those comments and basically saying, if there's something to play for, he's all in.
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation and it was like expletive this, expletive that, but it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. If we come back, we want to play for something. After this type of break, usually when you come back, especially with how fast we're going to be jumping into playing, you know, I think guys are at risk for injury, also at risk of, you know, being exposed to whatever, because, you know, none of us have been around each other if so many teams are going to be in one spot. So there's so many things out there that, you know, we could be at risk of. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, obviously as players, we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place.
Listen, I agree with that. I mean, in this situation, when you're going to bring people into a campus-like environment, you know, why bring people there unnecessarily or for a very short period of time, right? Get right to the meat. The NHL got right to the meat. Baseball has a whole season to play, so that's a different story. In all honesty, the National Women's Soccer League, they're going to be one of the first groups to actually start a season, and that's going to be June 27th, and it's going to be basically a tournament involving every single team to get to seeding for the playoffs. So everybody is involved. Every game is a meaningful game. If you bring back all the teams and play some regular season games, a decent amount of those games are going to be meaningless. So I agree to the point of why do that? You're almost done with your season. Get to the meat. Get to it quickly.
Yep. Based on where you are, mitigate that risk.
And all of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So they're trying to work that part of it out. Don't forget, Golden Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So that was one topic that Damian Lillard discussed when he was on with Jalen and Jacoby. Another was asked, he was asked about what role athletes have in the fight for social justice in light of the horrific news and the video that I don't ever want to see again, of Minnesota, four police officers who were fired for their role in the death of a black man in police custody. His name was George Floyd. Here's what Lillard had to say about that.
Just being a collective voice, just because of the platform that we all have. And the fact that, you know, a lot of us have family that are still, you know, living in these communities and that, you know, could potentially be in these situations every day. So I feel like it would never be right for us to not be present and be participating in some way, shape or form when these type of things take place, you know, to just to raise awareness and to get people to see that this is the reality. You know, these things are really happening and it's not okay.
Listen, what we all saw, and here we are, three white guys sitting around talking about something that's affecting the African-American community, and you saw a number of professional athletes really taken off on the social media about it. And as I said, three white guys sitting here talking about it who don't go through something like this. But that doesn't mean that our community, you know, can't be outraged at the ridiculous garbage that went on.
100%.
Listen, forget color here, even though you can't because of what went on. It was a human being. I mean, from one human being to another, what in the hell was going on? I mean, to sit there and kneel on the back of someone's neck for as long as you are.
And you hear him saying, I can't breathe.
I mean, it's so disturbing that one human would do that to another in that situation where one is so defenseless. It's sickening. And fired should be the start of it. The minimal start of it, of where these former now and should be former police officers should end up. The next should be convicts for what went on there. And we'll see where this all goes. And there's been, like we said, other effects to it, as we mentioned, with the Minnesota college and them not using that police force anymore for some of their bigger events. But I mean, I know a lot of it is about the African-American community talk about, but that doesn't mean, Mike, we can't be outraged at just the ridiculousness and the horrific nature of that scene.
It should be a thing that everyone's outraged about. Like, it's not just on black people and minorities to be outraged about this and try and create the change that needs to happen around all of this stuff.
Well, that would be like saying domestic violence. Well, that's really a woman's issue. No, it's the side of the other people to make sure we understand that's not okay.
But we treat it like it is sometimes. Like, that's the problem with all this, is we treat it like we put the impetus on the groups in question that are suffering under whatever is happening to be the ones to make the change.
Look, LeBron James put out a picture of what happened to George Floyd and Colin Kaepernick and said, this is why. And look, I just want to say one thing about that. If you're that upset about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, you better be just as upset about those knees.
You better be more upset. It's not even close to comparable.
But my point is, don't give me the selective outrage here.
Yeah.
Okay? You better be accurate across the board here, because those things are intertwined and you need to understand why. You need to understand why.
So I always say this, and that need to understand why is important, because at a base level, human beings, everyone wants to feel valued and everyone wants to feel like their opinion and their perspective is heard, right?
Yep.
That's universal across the board. When people talk about equality, meaning racial equality and all these things, wanting to live in a post-racial world, that doesn't mean everybody's the same. Everybody wants to be valued, but like the whole I don't see color thing, it's BS. Like, people are different. People come from different backgrounds. They have different stories. Like, those need to be celebrated and appreciated. And so in the interest of being valued and heard, I always say, and this goes back to, like, the best thing that ever happened to me in playing sports was being exposed to backgrounds that I was never going to hurt. And the one thing I always say is, I was smart enough to shut up and listen when it was the right time.
Yeah.
Like, my teammates' experiences being black in America is different than mine. it doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't make it any more or less valued. That's the whole point.
Right.
And I should value it enough to say, your experience is different than mine. Why don't I shut up and listen when you tell me about the things that are going on? When my teammates used to tell me they were getting pulled over just for driving while being black, basically. When they told me the things that they dealt with being harassed in certain public settings that I didn't have to deal with. And instead of sitting there and trying to pick out reasons why they might be wrong or why my experience should color more of their experience, you just at some point, just take the time to listen. Like, it can all start and be as simple as that. Ask questions and listen to an experience that is different than yours. And don't try and downplay it and don't try and judge it. Just listen and then see what happens from there.
I always go back to, because he always speaks so well, Bill Curry. He's written some books, and one of them he talks about the huddle. And to me, it's one of the great explanations of where society comes together in a team sport. We're in a huddle. There's 11 men, 11 people of different race, of different religion, and of different sexual orientation. And you learn to play with those people, and you learn to get to know those people. I mean, it's an incredible, I think, mingling of human society on a football field. That can, to your point, Mike, you can listen and you can learn, because again, we're talking about other things for University of Minnesota. They're talking about not using this police department at their major events. Minnesota Vikings have put out a statement. We'll see where this goes. But the bottom line is justice for George Floyd. And
correct.
I mean, the absolute absurdity of what went on in that situation and where those former police officers need to end up through all of this for the flat out killing of George Floyd.
It was in broad daylight. It was in broad daylight.
The problem is we've seen this happen over and over.
Have.
We watched video of a guy get shot in the middle of the street not too long ago. It just continues to add up. So just take a second and listen, man.
That's exactly right. Coming up much more on Golic and Wingo as we continue to work our way through this Thursday morning on ESPN Radio and ESPN News and on your smart speakers everywhere.